the needs of the saints, but also abounding to God through many thanksgivings. And they, or the saints, will be glorifying God because of the proof displayed by this ministry, because of the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and the uncomplicated giving of your sharing to them and to all. While they're yearning for you, their petitions being on behalf of you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks or gratitude be to God for his indescribable gift. Father, bless our time here tonight. And we do pray for those that are traveling on the roads tonight. We ask that you'll just keep them safe and bless us as we look at your word. And Lord, we just pray that you give us wisdom and insight as we think about the relationship that suffering has to gratitude. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So I want you to just take a moment and think about, I saw this video clip recently. It was on a newsreel of an individual that had, he was a refugee from Cuba, came to the United States. And by the way, we do need to pray. Charles, you have your surgery tomorrow, is that what it is? Okay. And Kathy, you have a procedure tomorrow. So if you don't mind, before we get started, would you just kind of gather around those two folks, and we're going to pray over them. So, Father, we both of these are procedures that are, in many ways, Lord, they're indicative of greater things, and meaning that you're going to have a profound impact in both their lives. And we pray that each one of these procedures would go in a way that is a testimony of your grace to these two. We pray for Kathy, Lord, that it would be negative. Excuse me. And we pray for Charles, Lord, that this would be a tremendous miracle in his life, that it would be the beginning of a drastic change and a blessing. And we're trusting you for these things, Lord. And the beauty is that we have the privilege of coming before your throne, not just asking, but actually seeing you as we ask in our hearts, in our soul. We get to experience that relationship. And Lord, we ask in gratitude of all that you've provided for us. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So I was looking at this video clip. It was a Cuban refugee that had come to the United States. He'd actually been able to get a job. Apparently in his country, he was unable to find work. So the impression that you got, I didn't get all the detail, but the impression was this person had come from a very poor, unable to provide for his family, really struggling, came to America, and it actually showed him with his first paycheck. This was his first paycheck, and the guy was absolutely sobbing because he had the privilege of earning money. And from that viewpoint, he realized that he could now provide for his family and that there was a future for him. And I just want you to think about that, because gratitude, it comes from a heart that recognizes that what it has received is undeserved. You can imagine that man could have thought of all the people still back in his country that didn't have the same opportunities that he had. And he probably was thinking, like oftentimes we do as believers, you know, why me, Lord? Why did you allow me? I mean, you know, there's so many that don't get this, and how did I get it? I mean, there's always that thought. Gratitude always comes from a source of that what you've received is undeserved, and there's no way, absolutely no way, that you would have been able to earn what you've got. You're grateful because it's beyond, it's a gift. It's something that you could have never worked for and received, It's a gift. That's what gratitude comes from. Now that's the difference between, in our first text here, what we see in the teaching of anything that is contradictory to the true message of grace. It's always teaching people to earn it, to work for it, that they can achieve it by their endeavors. And you're going to notice in this text, and I think this is important, it says here that they have these certain restrictions in their teaching, meaning that if you can live up to it, you can earn your righteousness by not doing these things, not eating certain things, not entering into certain endeavors like marriage and things such as that. But notice that he says that God has created these things to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and have realized the truth. When you come to Christ, you realize that everything that you have in your life is an absolute gift from God. And you can't really look at anything and say, man, I worked hard for this. Because you realize that God gave you the grace even to do what you did. The fact that you have the health to do it, even the interest in it. I can remember before I came to Christ, I had no interest in the Word. Absolutely zero interest. I didn't even think that it was important. I thought the Bible was just a book that you kept your family records in, basically. It was just one of those books that you had. Everybody had one in their family in the South, and the big Bible. But I never really thought of the Bible as being that important. And then you come to Christ, and all of a sudden, there's this interest. I don't know how to describe it, that just happens in your heart. Things become much more interesting, and you just can't get enough of it. Now, did I create that desire, or did God create that desire? Do you see what I'm saying? Like everything you get from God. That's why in 1 Corinthians 4:7, if you've received it, how can you boast if God gave you by grace everything that you have? If in Matthew 10:8, freely you receive, how can you say that I've earned it? The difference between the grace of God and the message of God's grace is that we're grateful. And I believe that that's an important part of our relationship to one, not only to one another, but to Christ and to the world around us. It says something to the world. You're going to notice he goes on to say that everything created by God is good and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with, notice this, gratitude. In other words, we realize that God created it and he's the one that created all things. And whatever we have, God has given to us. And as we said on Sunday, and we've said through this series many times, even the bad things are actually good for us. We can't look at anything and say it's truly bad. Because everything that happens to us has a purpose. And we're not disconnected from the purpose. God's actually using these things in our life to conform us into Christ's image. So we can't really argue. And even in the things that we don't understand or that we don't like, we can't say that it's actually bad for us. Because God, the Creator, the one who designs all things and actually is working in us where his workmanship is done this by grace. So there's a sense of appreciation that we have even if we don't like it. We can honestly say that. And notice this, and this is what I didn't bring out on Sunday that I really wanted to bring out tonight. Notice it's sanctified. It's made holy. Everything that we have is made holy by means of the Word of God. That's not just knowing the Word, but let's talk about the one who is the Word. It's made holy by our relationship to Christ, right? I don't know about you, but this kind of changes my attitude towards praying for the meal before you have it. Because truthfully, this is, and the next word, prayer here, is not the typical word for prayer. Paul's used the typical word for prayer in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 and on. He talked about the different forms of prayer. This is the word for intercession. So this is the word that speaks of actually recognizing the fact that you're in the presence of God and you're kind of coming before him and thanking him for what he's put in front of you. Rather than God bless this food. It's like, God, I'm thanking you in person for what you put in front of me. Kind of changes everything. So when we go through something, there is this sense where if we understand that God has created all things and we have the sense of gratitude and we have the privilege, a grateful heart because we can come into his presence, everything that we go through, we actually can come into the presence of God and we thank him for what he's put in front of us. And that's the difference. All other forms of teaching, all other forms of religion, if you will, or religious expression, are merit-based. And that's why in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, Paul, when he was speaking of Abraham, he said he received it by faith, and had it been of works, then it would have been deserved. It would have been a debt. God would have owed him. But that's not the relationship that we have with God. We receive our righteousness by faith. With that in mind, I want you to think about 2 Corinthians now. Because this is kind of interesting as we go through it. And it's going to be real brief. We'll just go right through this. But there's a relationship that suffering has to gratitude. And I'm not just talking about our personal suffering. I'm talking about the way that we relate to other people who are suffering. A person who has a grasp of the grace of God has a degree of gratitude that they bring into the relationship with that suffering individual. In other words, these people weren't giving because they had a lot. They were actually just giving because they had gratitude towards God. It's our gratitude towards God that allows us to care for other people. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't care. And all I have to ask you to do is think back to your unsaved days. How much did you care for people other than the people that were in your little circle of influence? Probably not a whole lot. You probably had a very select few people. Maybe you cared about certain causes in the world. Like, there are people that have causes and they care about their cause, but they're kind of indifferent to people, truthfully. They say they care about people, but they really care about their cause. Because they could destroy people just to get to their cause. But we really didn't care about people. But when you come to Christ and you understand the grace of God and you realize that everything you've gotten, everything in your life is a gift of God's grace, that it's an undeserved blessing that God has poured out upon you, then all of a sudden you begin to be able, because you didn't deserve it and you didn't earn it and you didn't work for it, you realize that everyone is in that same boat. They're all deserving of the grace of God. That they're undeserving people, that God's grace, they deserve God's grace. Do you understand that? And so, this issue of being blessed, this issue of having this relationship, I want you to just think about it from this viewpoint. We're all motivated by the blessings that we've received in Christ. The Word of God says in Ephesians 1:3 that we've received all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. None of us earned that. They were given to us. We didn't work for that. One person wasn't better than another, and that's why they got it. It was given to us. Our very motivation, our faith is derived from God's love. The fact that he loved us and allows us to have this relationship with him, that's the very essence of our faith in Galatians 5:6. It's the love of God that underlies our faith. And then that same faith, that same motivation, and the love that we receive motivates us to serve other people. Everything about our relationship is the fact that we're blessing others because we've been blessed. And the more we come to know that, the more we want to do for other people. The more we come to know that, the more we think about how can I get be a blessing to someone else. This last week, Becky and Marine View Presbyterian and the church here, we sent up I don't know how many bags, how many of new coats and socks and sweats and for the kids up on Roosevelt at the school there. And they were blessed. But the reason that we even can do that, or anyone would even consider that, is because they've been blessed by God. When we recognize that, we care. If we don't recognize that, truthfully, we spend our life just thinking about ourselves. So the first thing here is that being blessed, notice in verse 6, it says, he who sows sparsely will reap sparsely. He who sows on the basis, notice this, the basis of blessings. Then he's going to reap on the basis of blessings. So I sow based upon what? I've been blessed in Christ. I have received blessings in Christ. I've received the depths of God's grace in Christ. And I share the unearned, unmerited grace that I've received with others. I'm motivated to do things because I got what I didn't deserve. I got just the opposite of what I deserved. I got God's favor instead. And so I'm motivated to give that. The next thing here is, notice that God's grace motivates giving. So literally, we're to do as we purpose in our heart. Why is it so important that a person comes to know the finished work of Jesus Christ? If Christianity becomes nothing more than an effort or a work or a behavior that you have to live up to or model, you have to do these things, then in all honesty, it's no different than any other motivational tool in the world. It's going to have a measure of effectiveness, but it will not be truly effective. But if it comes down to the grace of God, if I understand the depths of God's grace in my heart, then I give not grudgingly, but and not because I'm compelled, some compulsion, some force outside that makes me do it, but I give freely because I understand that I've received freely because God has given me unlimited amounts of love and attention and grace, and he has a plan for me and a purpose. So how can I not share with other people? How can I not care? So first thing here, it's certainly not a grief or obligation. In verse 8, notice this. God is the one that makes all grace abound to us. And once we come to understand the finished work of Christ, that we have everything in Christ, we expect God to just keep pouring out and allowing us to know him in a deeper way, like just like Paul said in Philippians 3:8, that I would know him. We just expect God to keep pouring it out, to just keep opening up and allowing us to understand the depths, the grace, and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Peter 3:18. We just expect that. And you'll notice in verse 9 and then in 10, it says, our grace achievements literally reflect his grace. I want you to realize this. The things that we do in verse 10, it says, he who supplies at his own expense, this is God, the word here literally in the Greek, speaks of him. He's the one that put the money out for us. Everything we're doing at his expense. Seed to the sower, bread will supply, and said, multiply your seed for sowing. And notice this, increase the harvest. And notice what the harvest is. It's righteousness. It's an expression of something that can only be measured by God's nature itself. Like, it's just right with God. When we live in this attitude of gratitude that we have because we've received it by grace, what we reveal, the fruit of our endeavor is, it's right with God. When we do something for a person, it's right with God. When we minister to someone, it's right with God. When we have a hard attitude to speak to a person or to share or to help a person or to do something for another individual, it's right with God. If our whole heart is motivated by what we've received, and we've received it by grace. So when we share that, it's right with God. It's literally right with God. It's righteousness. It's God himself in us. And so that becomes literally a testimony. God's grace motivates, and God's grace produces. And notice in this next one, uncomplicated giving is the display of our righteousness. We're going to look at that 10b again. Increase the harvest of your righteousness. And notice in verse 11 it says this, resulting in being made rich in everything for the purpose of all what? Uncomplicated giving. In other words, why do we grow in grace? So that we can give more grace. Why do we grow in the Word? So that I can know Christ better and give more of Christ. I freely receive him and freely give him. Why do I get to know and understand the forgiveness of God? Because if I understand the forgiveness of God in Ephesians 4:32, I can give it to another person. Why is it important for me to, and why would Paul pray for us to understand the depths of God's love in Jesus Christ, which is beyond anything we could ever imagine? Because if I understand it, I can give it. I can be motivated by that very love of Christ for other people. So everything that we receive, we have the privilege of sharing with another person. We're motivated to know it because we actually, in receiving it, have this incredible opportunity to give it to others. And so he literally says in verse 11 that this uncomplicated giving, this liberality produces what? Thanksgiving to God. I want you to notice that. Because the ministry, it says, of this spiritual service supplies the needs of the saints. Grace-filled believers meet the needs of other people. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you haven't been. If you've ever been in a legalistic environment where people had expectations of you, and they were watching to see if you lived up to those expectations, and they were demanding that you live up to those expectations. I don't know if you've ever been in that environment. I have. But I can tell you this, that the one thing it did not produce in me, it didn't produce any sense of thanksgiving. It didn't produce any sense of life. If anything, it produced frustration in me. It was just the opposite of bringing me into the presence of God where I could be thankful for what I had in front of me. It put a barrier between me and God. So this spiritual service, he says, and by the way, the word here for spiritual service or ministry is the word that was used for like priests doing their duties in the temple. So this word literally is speaking of something more than just ministry, just serving. It's speaking of a spiritual service. It's like when we share the grace of God and we act towards another person because of the gratitude that we have for all that we receive so freely, and we share that with another person, we're actually doing the work of the ministry. We're serving God as a believer priest, I guess you could say. We're doing what God created us to do. And then you notice in verse 13, it displays the proof of your confession to the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ all about? If that's the standard in Philippians 1:27 that we're supposed to live by, think about it just for a moment. The gospel of Christ was God giving us what we didn't deserve. For the Christmas, in preparation for Christmas, this will be the last Sunday that we'll be in 1 Timothy. We'll come back to it after. But we're going to do 3 weeks on Christ the man. All about Christ, who he was, his prehistoric personhood, who he was in eternity past before he ever came into time. Who was he? What about his patience, his faith, his meekness, his long-suffering, all these aspects that are descriptive of Christ? We're going to look at those over the course of 3 weeks leading up or right up to our Christmas Eve service. But just take a moment and think about it. The gospel of Christ is the message that has been revealed to us through the Word of God and through His life. Our testimony is Christ. Our testimony is to live up and in what He has shown us, what He has spoken to us, and what His Spirit reveals in us. Amen? That's what we want to do. We want to have the mind of Christ. I want to have His feelings. I want to have His faith. I want to have His patience. I want to have His peace. You can go down the list. All these are attributes that God has imparted to us because His very Spirit lives within us. So, and then notice this. It causes a yearning, it says in verse 14. It literally causes people to care for you. When we care for people in the grace of God, and again, I don't want you to get sidetracked here. The grace of God produces gratitude in our heart. We didn't earn it and we didn't deserve it. He gave us what we could have never earned or merited. We could have never gotten there. We'd have never gotten there. You can't work and be good enough to get this. God gave it to us freely. He gave us His life so that we could have life. And all of us in our heart, if we truly understand that, there isn't any list of all the things we're doing for God. It's, oh my God, thank you. Thank you. There's a sense of gratitude. And that attitude that we have, a gratitude in our heart, speaks to people because the majority of the world is living in a kind of deserved mindset. Either they've earned it, or they got ripped off, or it should have been better, or they're far better than everyone else. But it's all the same. And then lastly, I just want you to see this. If we think about what's produced is gratitude to the grace of God. Notice in verse 11b, it speaks of the fact it's consistently producing thanksgiving to God through us. So these people were giving because they had been blessed. And not just one blessing, but blessings. Everything that Christ had given them motivated them to give to others. And so Paul saw that and he said, thank you, God, for what these people are doing. It just, him and his compadres, whoever they were, his companions, thank you, God, for what they're doing. And then that gift went on into literally to be given, whether it be, you know, an offering. I think at this point it was an offering, but their heart attitude, all the things that were involved in that. And then the people that received it, what did they do? Thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, for the heart of these people that care about us, that have never seen us face to face, but they've been motivated by your grace to do this act of kindness for us. And they just thanked God, it says in verse 12. It bounds to God through many thanksgiving. And then notice in verse 13, they're glorifying God. God, you're the one that produced this in the hearts of people. We lived our whole life and no one ever cared. And you come to Christ and all of a sudden your world just opens and people care. You care and other people care. And all of a sudden you're in this kind of network of care and grace and giving and thanksgiving and the response to the thanksgiving. And you're just, God, how could I have lived my life and been so far away from this for so many years? Thank you, God, that you let me be part of this in the midst of a group of people that actually care. That care for me, not for what I do, but care for me just in Christ. They see the best in me. They believe for me. And then notice what it goes on to say. This uncomplicated giving, the simplicity, just no strings attached. People just giving because they've received grace, giving. Just giving. It says literally, they yearn for you. Their petitions are on behalf of you. because of, notice this, the surpassing grace of God. It's all about his grace. It's just grace begetting grace, begetting grace, begetting grace, just grace just being poured out left and right. People receiving it, then giving it. Not earning it, just giving it. Creates this incredible, fruitful environment where God can work in the hearts and lives of people. And when it's all said and done, everyone is lifting their hands and thanking God himself because he's the one that originated and initiated and provided for it. He's the one that gave it his expense. That everything that's ever been done or said or given or any blessing that's ever been received, it initiated, it started with him and it came through us from him, and anything that happened was the result of him. Amen? And you're just thankful. And then in verse 14, I just think this is amazing. By the way, the word thanks here is the same word for grace. It's just a different connotation. You could easily say, grace be to God. Because that's what he's received. He's seen people receive from Jesus Christ what they didn't deserve. And because they were motivated by that grace, they gave to other people what they didn't deserve. And because they did that, thanks went up to God. And God was glorified because who initiated this thing of giving what is undeserved to others, to the undeserving? God himself. And the thanks went back to God, and the cycle just continues on. He says, grace, thanks, grace be to God. And notice this, for it's an indescribable gift that God lets us be part of this, that we get to care for people, and then we get to receive from God, and we get to give to others, and then we get to receive more, and they get to be thankful in the process, and we get to literally, can you imagine? It's almost, you know, as if a person thanks God, God is blessed because we thanked him. But think about it, when God allows you to be thanked because of what you receive from him, you get to participate in that. You get to sense what it's like to literally be a recipient of the grace of God on a personal level because you've done this. It's an indescribable gift. You can't put it into words. You can't even begin to explain it. It all starts with God. We're just the means through which it continues on, and then it returns to God, and it abounds in thanksgiving. Because people see it, and they're like thankful. I don't know. You know, Marine View took an offering, and they provided all this clothing, and we had the place to do it, and the clothing went there. Also went, by the way, to Fort Lewis, some of it, for the people there. But how many families are thankful tonight because their kid has a warm coat or they have socks on their feet? It abounds to the glory of God. And it all started because God gave us something we did not deserve. And we just share. We even have a thought to do it because we received what we didn't deserve. And we get to be part of it. Now that's how suffering relates to gratitude. When you see a person suffering, the grace of God actually does care about that person. It's not trying to figure out whether they deserve what they're going through. It's thinking about how it can reach them in their need and reveal the grace of God to them in a special way. Amen? By the way, we've all been there, I would assume, at some point. You've been there and God met you there. Amen? Father, we thank you for each and every one. We pray for your blessing. We ask for your encouragement. Thank you for this night and all that are here. Pray that you'll just continue to bless each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Yeah, we just prayed for them.
Oh, yeah. Isaiah.
We laid hands on them and prayed.
I do want to share Charles too, but I do want to share. I was blessed to talk to Becky Horton today when she had just returned.